Well, get ready for massive censorship in Canada. The groundwork has been laid over the past few months, a playbook right out of the WEF's handbook. And of course, Justin Trudeau is a stooge of the World Economic Forum, making Klaus Schwab very, very happy. So this week, the Online Harms Bill was introduced in the House of Commons in Canada this week, and it is as bad as you think it is. In fact, our next guest calls it a monstrosity. That is David Creighton, who is an independent journalist from Canada who writes at the Post-Millennial and has his own YouTube channel, Creighton's Right. David, you've been watching this from the very beginning, and you've been warning us all over the past year and a half, telling us here on this show just how bad this is. Well, no one stopped it from happening, and now we see it in the House of Commons. So what does this bill purportedly do?
Well, as you said, Clayton, I've been warning people about this censorship bill. It's the third piece of Trudeau's censorship legislation. We had Bill C-11, which was Canadian content, sounded innocuous, but it wasn't. Then we had C-18, which demanded money, extorted money from social media companies if they wanted to put Canadian news stories on their networks. Those two bills have been bad enough because they have been doing nothing except suppressing news. This one, the Online Harms Act, is really insidious. I'll tell you why, because I kept thinking it was going to be called the Online Safety Act. That's what it originally had been called. That's what the UK called it. That's what Australia has called it. That's what the globalist agenda insisted it be called. But they changed the name and they changed the focus from misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation to hate speech and harmful content.
It's worked in Europe, right? I mean, this is a playbook right out of the European playbook on hate. Now, if you add hate into it, now you get into criminality, right? Now we really have to put our foot down on what you're saying and doing online.
And that's precisely it. I mean, who wants to be in favor of hate speech?
Right.
And who wants to be seen as somehow aiding and abetting hateful people? And that's what this bill is all about. It's very insidious. And it talks about sexual exploitation. It talks about child pornography. It talks about protecting children. And when the Minister of Justice, the Attorney General, who is really a non-entity, came out of nowhere, Arif Virani, who replaced David Lametti in a cabinet shuffle last summer, he's been given total control over this bill. The other two pieces of legislation were passed through the Ministry of Heritage. This is all a Justice Department play right now. And because it's all focused on changing the Criminal Code of Canada, making more unnecessary laws against hate speech. We already have laws against hate speech in Canada. You know that. And this is all about making the pit even deeper for free speech. And so I listened to the minister yesterday. All he wanted to talk about was how this is going to protect children. But you know what? What's scariest about this is it's creating another layer of bureaucracy in Canada called the Digital Safety Commission of Canada, another government department. Yeah, we need that.
Oh, great.
I mean, Trudeau has literally doubled the number of public servants since he's been in office. Now we need another layer of bureaucracy in Canada.
This is the strategy, though. This is what all of these governments are doing. You're seeing it in the United States and the Department of Homeland Security, of course. This has been exposed, the massive layer of censorship and suppression that is orchestrated right out of the Pentagon. I guess if you compare it to what the United States is doing, how is it different, do you think?
I think it's different because they've had the audacity to create a new office here as well as this commission. It's called the Digital Safety Ombudsperson of Canada. Well, you know what that equates to? That's the online censorship czar. Of course, they don't want to call it that. And it sounds like, well, somebody's going to fairly assess these and adjudicate these issues out there. But what they're doing here is saying, okay, we're not going to make it necessarily illegal if you contravene our categories of harmful content. We're going to get back to you and say, resolve this matter by yourself or else. Then we'll go after you. So censor yourself. This is what is scary about this to me, is that it's not going out there with a naked fist of aggression and saying, we're going to throw you in jail the minute you contravene our legislation. First, they're going to come back to you and say, okay, we caught you. Change what you said. Amend your speech. Stop saying that. And if you don't, we're going to come back and get you. Because the categories of harmful content, it's right in this bill. All you have to do is read it. Nobody's reading it, though, because they're hearing the government say, well, it's all about protecting children and content that sexually victimizes a child. That's what we're trying to stop here.
Didn't that already exist? Like, isn't it already illegal to share pedophilia in, you know, stuff and child pornography? Like, isn't that already illegal? Why do you need a new bill that couches it? And I always find this hilarious, right? In the United States, we call it hate, you know, oh, that's a hate crime. Wait, wasn't it already illegal to kill somebody? But now there's an extra layer of hate on top of you. On top of it, it makes no sense. You just add these, you know, this language on top of it. So, yeah, did Canada already have these protections in place?
Yes, of course we did. Of course we had protections against child. We had protections against child pornography, and we had protections against hate speech. This will actually create another category in the criminal code, distinctly defining hate speech as a separate crime. So not only is it not, it's not going to be just aggravated if it's motivated by hate. If you say something motivated by hate that's wrong in the government's eyes, you're going to be charged under a separate category. So, and they're going to insist that hatred or harmful content somehow be defined. You know that's going to be in the broadest context.
Right. Have they tried to define it? Or is there any examples of what they say is hate speech?
Well, there's lots of examples of hate speech, but they have never tried to define hatred. Because, of course, where do you begin and where do you end? I always say that if you read Das Kapital or the Communist Manifesto, there's plenty of that book that can be constituted as hate speech against property owners, hate speech against capitalists, hate speech against people who go to work, as Karl Marx never did. But I don't want those books banned because I consider that to be hateful against an identifiable group. But right, this is what this bill is going after. And it's interesting that if you go through the categories of harmful content, yes, they talk about the sexually victimization and they talk about intimate content communicated without consent. But then you get to what they're really after here. And that's content that foments hatred, content that incites violent extremism or terrorism, and content that incites violence. Anything I say in support of the Freedom Convoy could be construed as harmful content because the Trudeau government considered the Freedom Convoy to be a violent extremist group. So I've got them right there, that they're going to hang me out to dry for supporting the Freedom Convoy because Trudeau considered them an extremist and violent group. That's what this whole issue was always about with him invoking the Emergencies Act. In fact, Liberal members of Parliament actually called them terrorists.
Right.
So any content that I put out or independent journalists put out or new media or even mainstream media that is in any way fomenting support of that can be constituted as harmful content. In fact, even hate speech.
Well, you know, this is a playbook, right? I mean, this is, again, a page right out of the playbook on how you suppress this type of content, because then they can go to the large big tech companies and they can say to YouTube and Google and so forth, their guidelines in Canada now must support and now must protect against this type of content. And it gives then those countries the power to be able to do that and censor. And these big tech companies have to throw up their hands and they say, you know what? We're just in alignment with Germany. We're just in alignment with France on this policy. We're just in alignment with Canada on this policy. And Google and YouTube can just throw their hands up about it when this type of content gets banished and suppressed, blocked, and maybe even then facing fines or jail time as a result of it.
Yes, and as you said at the beginning of this conversation, this is a globalist agenda. It's happening all over the world, throughout Europe, and particularly in the English-speaking democracies that used to be the bulwark against authoritarianism. If this can happen in Canada, this can happen anywhere. And of course, it has happened already throughout Europe. And there are actors in the United States who want the same kind of legislation there. And if it doesn't happen under Joe Biden, hopefully it won't happen under any successor. But this is dangerous because it's demanding self-censorship. It's putting a chill out there and saying,
So what does that
you
mean?
better abide.
You better do it. You better do it yourself. You better censor yourself. And if you don't, then we'll come after you. So you'll receive some sort of a slap on the wrist from the government, and you now need to censor yourself. You're going to have a whole just nation of sheep walking around.
Well, and isn't that the essence of a totalitarian regime, Clayton, where people self-censor themselves all the time? If you talk to people who went through Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia, that's how their lives were led. They used to say the only time they could speak their minds was in bed at night, because that's the only time they really felt nobody was listening. And this is what this legislation is all about, is that we tell ourselves, oh, I can't say that. I could be going to jail. Or I could have the police at my door. Or I could have a letter in the mail saying you're going to have to appear before a commission or a human rights tribunal. Or have a trial, a criminal trial. So I guess I'll just not say it. I guess I just won't criticize the Liberal government today. Maybe next week, maybe next month. And that totalitarian, authoritarian trend becomes ingrained in the systems, in the DNA of a population. And that's what this is all about. It's making people start to think like they live in a totalitarian regime. Not just react to the laws, but be compliant and insist that people start behaving. And that's what I hate most about this. Well, I shouldn't have said hate.
Shouldn't have said it. Justin Trudeau, though, this week said something I hated, which he called out. He said, "You know, the world is we're starting to see the rise, the growth of authoritarianism and totalitarianism and dictatorships." And I couldn't believe that he said this with a straight face. Listen.
But I will say that in all of our democracies, in every democracy around the world, we are seeing a rising movements of either authoritarian populism or skepticism about democracy itself. And we all need to recommit ourselves to standing up, not just for Ukraine, but through standing up for Ukraine, to the very principles that make our countries strong and free.
So Justin Trudeau says these comments almost, he says them with a straight face, as if he doesn't realize what's happening in his own country being led by him to clamp down on freedoms, the authoritarianism that he is presiding over in Canada.
Well, he's the ultimate narcissistic politician, and he's just so politically dense. He's so politically fatuous at times. There he is calling Vladimir Putin a coward because he said he used the police to suppress a political opponent, which actually is nonsense, as your wife Natalie pointed out recently. But who's the coward? Who's the one that used the full force of the state and the police against his political opponents? That was Justin Trudeau, who had the police physically beat up Freedom Convoy protesters as I stood there reporting on it, as I stood there watching. Police physically abused Freedom Convoy people while Justin Trudeau wasn't even in town to watch. So who's the coward?
Yeah, well said. He was like hiding in a cabin somewhere. No one could find Justin Trudeau. Well, we'll get you out of here on this, David. Where does this go from here in the House of Commons? What is the next step?
I wish I could be more optimistic. I believe Pierre Poilievre and the Conservatives will oppose this because, as Poilievre has said on many occasions, how do you define hate speech in Canada? It's anything that Justin Trudeau hates. So he's not being fooled by the hate speech label on this legislation. The problem is that the New Democratic Party, the socialists, are continuing to prop up the Liberals. They just got their latest concession. More pharmacare legislation is on its way for the NDP. They're going to continue to support this government. And without the NDP relinquishing that control, I believe this legislation could pass before the next election. Now, that would be catastrophic. It would have to be repealed by the conservative government that will probably, in all probability, follow the defeat of the Trudeau Liberals. But in the meantime, we could be at the mercy of this authoritarian, dictatorial Trudeau regime.
David Creighton, up in Canada, thank you so much for joining us as always. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Clayton.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.